Welcome to the Golden Age of Baseball with Eddie Robinson, baseball's oldest living player. Eddie was a four-time All-Star first baseman, scout, coach, and front office executive during his amazing 65-year career in baseball. These podcasts will give the baseball enthusiast the opportunity to share a slice of baseball history with someone who actually lived it.
I had had a bone tumor on my right leg. It was, and it had been discovered when I was in Baltimore. And I was rounding third base one day, and my knee came out of place. It hurt like hell, but, and I fell down, and then it flopped back into place, and I was able to walk. It was in place, but it was really swollen. They took me to Johns Hopkins Hospital to examine my knee. And the doctor who examined my knee was Dr. George Bennett. And Dr. George Bennett was the chief orthopedic surgeon. They x-rayed my knee, and Dr. Bennett, who was also a great baseball fan, examined me. And he said, Eddie, your knee's okay, but he said, you have a, I don't think you even know it, but you have a large bone tumor. It's on the big bone in your leg. I'm going to leave it alone. He said, I have seen instances where the bone tumor has encircled the peroneal nerve, and you have to be very careful in removing the tumor, or you might injure the peroneal nerve, which controls the movement of your foot. You can't pick your foot up and put it down unless the peroneal nerve is working. He said, unless it really bothers you, he said, I wouldn't have anything done. So I took his advice, and I didn't. I was in Norfolk and played there and did everything up to the time we got to Hawaii. And it began to bother me some. So I went up to the hospital there, Aya Heights Hospital. The doctor looked at it, and he said, yeah, he said that tumor ought to come out. He said, I can take it out. His name was Dr. Walerius. I told him, I said, you know, I talked to Dr. George Bennett. In fact, I even called George Bennett after I talked to Dr. Walerius, and he wanted to operate on me, and I wanted to find out if what he thought about it. And I talked to him, and he said, well, lady, he said, if it's bothering you, it can come out, but he's got to be very careful of that peroneal nerve. And he said, my friend Captain Gray is head of that hospital. He's the chief guy. He said he's a surgeon, but he's not a bone doctor, but he's a surgeon. And he said, if you'd like, I'd have Captain Gray be there when you're operated on. And I said, well, I would like it. So he arranged it. I told Dr. Walerius what Dr. Bennett had said. He said, I know what I'm doing. He said, I know about the peroneal nerve. Well, he proceeded to operate on me. Captain Gray was there. I don't think he had much to do with the operation, but it was comforting to me to know that he was there. Anyway, they operated on me, sewed me back up, put me in the ward. The operation healed up, but I began to have a tingling in my leg and a kind of a burning sensation. And I couldn't figure it out. I talked to the doctor, and he didn't have much to say about it. I guess he was embarrassed. He knew that he had injured the peroneal nerve and that I was going to have foot drop. And if you got foot drop, you can't play baseball. So I was there a couple of weeks after I was operated on. He finally admitted that, yeah, he had made a mistake, that he had stretched the peroneal nerve. When you stretch a nerve, it gets like a gristle in it. And the nerve fibers grow down like an inner tube. The fibers grow down the center of the tube. And when they come to the gristle, they can't get by, so they stop. And anything below that is dead and won't work. And that's the part that's the muscles that are energized by the peroneal nerve that pick your foot up. So I had foot drop, and it was very obvious why I had it. It was not as obvious how I was going to get rid of it. Neurosurgery at that time was in its infancy, and there weren't many neurosurgeons in the Navy. Well, the Dr. Larry said, we're going to send you back to the States. Well, that was all right with me. I wasn't of any value as a Navy person. I had to walk with a brace. It was very difficult to walk. So they arranged to send me back. And what do you think they sent me back on? They sent me back on a Pan American Clipper. Now, that was a big deal. It was Pan American Clippers, that huge airplane that lands on the water and takes off on the water and has berths in it like a Pullman car on a train. It has a lounge car in it. And, of course, it has seats, but when you get ready to go to bed, so you can lay down and sleep if you want to. I didn't sleep, but I went up to the lounge car. But it was a thrill to ride that Pan American Clipper from Hawaii to San Francisco. We landed in San Francisco. It took me to Oak Knoll Naval Hospital. I was entered into the hospital. And they had two neurosurgeons at that hospital. Her name was Livingstone. And they were father and son. They came to see me. And they examined me and looked at my leg. And they said, yes. They said, you have a neuroma in your peroneal nerve, which is blocking the energy flow down to your foot. And they said that neuroma needs to be taken out so that the nerves can roll down. And we would like to do it. And Dr. Bennett, I'd called him when I found out I had foot drop. And he said, well, he said, they're going to send you back to the United States. And he said, you don't let anybody touch you, operate on you until you get back to Bethesda Naval Hospital in Washington, D.C. He said, they're going to want to, but don't let them. I said, okay, I won't. So I refused to let them operate on me. And then I said, I'd like to go to Bethesda Naval Hospital. And they said, well, there are no beds available at Bethesda Naval Hospital. The closest hospital to Washington is the Marine Hospital in Quantico, Virginia. And they said, we can send you there. I said, well, send me there. I knew that was getting closer to Bethesda. So they did. They cut my orders, and I got on the train and rode all the way. No sleeper, no nothing. Just rode the train, changed trains in Chicago, and finally got to Norfolk and got checked into the Quantico, Virginia hospital. The next day, a doctor came to see me, and he was a psychiatrist. He wasn't a neurosurgeon. He said, I'm a psychiatrist. He said, I can't operate on you. He said, I know you need it. He said, Bethesda's full. He said, they have neurosurgeons. So he said, I'm going to give you your discharge. I said, no, I don't want a discharge. I want to go to Bethesda. He said, well, I don't think I can help you. So when he left, I went to the payphone and I called Dr. Bennett and I said, Dr. Bennett, they want to give me my discharge from the Navy. They say there are no beds in Bethesda and I can't get in there. And he said, is that what they said? I said, yeah. He said, well, where are you? And I told him I was at a payphone. He said, well, you stay right by that phone. And he said, I'm going to call Captain Craig, who is the head of Bethesda Naval Hospital, see if he can't get you in over there. And I said, okay. So he did. It wasn't 10 minutes till he called me back. He had talked to Captain Craig, and Captain Craig had said Dr. Bennett had given him my information. Captain Craig said, you tell Eddie to wait there, and we'll be down there with a station wagon to pick him up tomorrow, and we'll bring him up here to Bethesda. So that was very, very good news for me, and I thank Dr. Bennett profusely. Waited for the station wagon the next day. And sure enough, it showed up, and they took me to Bethesda and entered me into the hospital there. And I was put into a ward of about, I guess 50 or 60 patients. And all of them had been wounded. I was the only one in there that hadn't been wounded and felt kind of out of place. But I couldn't help it. And they were all good guys. And all of them were Navy people or Marines. And I became very friendly with some of them. They had two neurosurgeons there, Dr. Sheldon was the senior guy, and Dr. Pudenz, and they looked at me and told me what they were going to do. And they set the date for the operation, and Dr. Sheldon was going to do the operating. Well, it came the day of the operation. They gave me a shot before the operation, and at the same time, they informed me that a shot was to relax me and kind of start putting me under. They were not going to put me to sleep. I was going to be, have a spinal injection, which would deaden you from the waist down. So I would be able to talk to them while they operated on me. And, they gave me the shot to just make me happy, I guess. And told me that Dr. Sheldon wasn't going to do the operating, that he had been called out of town, and that Dr. Pudenz was going to do it. And I rebelled and said, no, I don't want it. I don't want it if Dr. Sheldon's not going to do it. Then that shot they gave me took over, and I relented and relaxed and didn't much care who operated on me. They did, and I talked to them. They were well aware of the importance of my leg to me as a baseball player. If the operation wasn't a success, my career was over. And they were aware of that. And Dr. Pudenz did a great job. He cut an inch of the nerve out. He cut the neuroma out. And he stitched that nerve carefully together, like stitching an inner tube together, and sewed me up and said, well, that's all I can do for you, Eddie. He said, we're going to give you your discharge now, and you go home to Baltimore, and Dr. Bennett will take care of your post-care. He said, a nerve grows an inch a month. This was July. And he said, in 6 months, if you're going to have recovery and be able to play ball again, you're going to be able to pick your foot up and move your foot around. So I said, okay, shook his hand. They gave me my discharge, and I went home to Baltimore and to Elaine and Robbie Ann. We had bought a row house there, not far from her parents, and that's where she had stayed while I was in the Navy. It was a grand homecoming. Of course, a long wait. Dr. Bennett gave me a kind of a cast to sleep in at night that kept my foot from upright, and the covers couldn't pull it down and stretched the muscles in my leg. It kept my muscles taut, so when they did get energy back, they'd have strength to pick my foot up. So I put that on every night, and every day I wore a brace that kept my foot up. It was an ugly thing, but it did the job. I did that for the 6 months, from June to December. I began to get a little feel in my leg in December, a little tingling, and that gave me hopes that it was going to get all right. And by March the 1st, the day to report to spring training in 1946, I had gotten recovery of lifting my foot. I could lift it, I could maneuver it, and I could even run. Not fast. I was never able to run fast, but I was able to run. Elaine went with me, my wife, and baby. They went with me to spring training in Clearwater, Florida. And the day I got there, I threw the brace away and played the rest of my big league career without the brace and did just fine. Nobody even knew I had a problem with my leg. It's my thought that the good Lord wanted me to play baseball, or otherwise he wouldn't have arranged for me to have an operation and get the piece of my leg back. I was so happy with it and so thankful to God that I got it.
Thank you for listening to the Golden Age of Baseball with baseball legend Eddie Robinson. If you have questions for Eddie or would like to suggest a topic for him to discuss, please email eddie.robinson65@yahoo.com. This is Greg Ricks inviting you to check out Eddie's other podcasts. And for an even deeper dive into the Golden Age of Baseball, read his autobiography, Lucky Me, My 65 Years in Baseball, which you can find on goodreads.com and on Amazon.